Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 602. This is your old Danny, and also the co-host of the show, the whole GTR crew. Hello, Mr. Pete.
What's up? What up? I'm back from Fell Winter's Peak, and I am salty as hell. I don't know about you.
All right. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Enjoying your Destiny game and everything, right?
Absolutely. I'm totally enjoying it.
That's good, man. All right. And also we have here Paris.
What's up? I'm representing Team Salt. I've been playing Crucible all day, and I'm just getting the good lights, all the loot. I'm excited. Destiny Talk Radio, baby. Let's keep it going.
It's good, man. See, let me tell you something, guys. I've been playing Forza Horizon 3 nonstop. One of the best racing games, period. Been playing that nonstop. I think I have close to 30 hours of gameplay. Yeah. What's going on with you guys? You know, besides the whole Destiny and Forza and all that stuff, what's up with anything?
Is there anything else new besides Destiny? Because really, that's all I've been doing. I don't know about Pete.
I'm in the same boat, man. It's my spare time that has been devoted to Destiny.
No, I'll say this, all joking aside. The closer we get to the launch of it, the more excited I'm starting to get for Gears 4. I'm really looking forward to Gears 4.
Now, let me ask you. The latest trailer that they showed, did it got you a little bit hype? Or you like curious or kind of like, I'm going to stay off from the trailer. I don't want to see that. I just want to enjoy it.
Well, yeah, I watched the trailer once. It wasn't the trailer that got me intrigued. Honestly, it's just been everything that's starting to come out about what they're going to do with the PC version. That's what's getting me excited. And, you know, like I've said in the past, I'm not sure about the story. So there's a curiosity factor with the story. I want to see what direction that they're going to go with Gears 4. But from a technical standpoint, from a showcase standpoint, I think this thing is going to shine, you know, big time. I think this is going to be a really big hit for Microsoft this holiday. So like I said, I'm looking forward to it. I cannot wait to get a hold of it and play it.
They're really pushing this like really hard. Compared to like all the games that has been coming out this year, they're pushing this really, really hard, man. You know, I think the only thing that I could think of that they also been pushing is Forza, because I think they have like a pretty huge event in Australia right now, Fan Fest over there.
Yeah, so yeah, Phil Spencer's there. Phil Spencer went to Australia. He's there.
Exactly. So I mean, it's perfect area too to promote the game too. So that's awesome, man. You know, so it's cool, man. Look, now the holidays, there's so many great games that's coming out. Paris, we got excited playing Call of Duty. We haven't been excited about a Call of Duty game in a very long time, but it got me curious about the whole zombie and playing Modern Warfare Remastered all over again. You know, it was fun, right?
Yeah, it was. And you know what's funny about that? I mean to cut you off, sorry. But
that's fine.
You know, Raven, who's doing the port for Call of Duty Remastered, they actually just released a bunch of changes that they're going to make due to fan feedback, community feedback. You know, just some changes with some of the gun sounds and just some of the environments and everything. So, no, that's cool, man. They're listening and they want this. I think people are more excited for the remaster than they are for Infinite Warfare. So, and from what we played, it's going to take me back to 2007. I can't wait to play it.
You know, it's funny. I was telling Paris this when we were over there in LA that we played Infinite Warfare a lot. And we went to the other tent to try out Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered. And it took me a while to get used to the game because it's very slow compared to the newest game. But once I got used to it, dude, I was 2007 all over again, man. You know, but it took us a while. Am I right, Paris? Like it was like the same thing for you, right?
Yeah, it takes you a minute. But once your mind gets back into that mode, it's like, okay, I can't do this anymore because they started doing this in this Call of Duty game after it. You can only do this. Once you got back into that control scheme of how it originally was, oh yeah, just all the memories came back. All the little secret hiding spots on the map, everything was still there the way you remembered it. So it was fun, man. I really enjoyed it.
Now, Pete, yes. Before we go to the topics and everything, are you excited for Battlefield 1?
That's Battlefield coming. 1, I am, because I, you know, obviously I got to, you know, I've mentioned I've got to play it at E3. I have the beta, you know, or alpha, whatever they want to call it, on my, you know, my PC. I've been playing it there when I can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still excited for it. I still have hopes that it's not going to be the big fall, you know, the big, you know, fail. I don't think it will, because it's that big of a title that it's going to take a lot for it to fall on its face. So I think it's a good move for EA.
I mean, today they just released the campaign trailer mm-hmm. for the first time today. So I haven't seen it. Have you guys seen it at all?
No, I heard about it and I've not watched it, unfortunately.
All right, we'll talk about it in the next episode, but I really want you guys to see it and everything. But there's like a lot of big games coming out from now till November. So it's like, it's a lot at the same time. You know, you guys been playing, you know, Destiny. I've been playing Forza, but now, you know, Call of Duty, Battlefield, Timefall 2. It's a lot back to back, you know. So are you guys going to take a break from Destiny and try out these games too, or what?
Yeah,
I'm going to say yes. Time will tell, though, whether I actually get off the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say I kind of agree with Pete, but yeah, I'm going to make a concerted effort to definitely not play it as much in October. And that's kind of why I want to get all the stuff that I want to do out of the way now. I want to get the raid done. You know, whenever hard mode raid comes out, I want to revisit it then. But yeah, when Titanfall 2 drops, Battlefield 1 drops, when Gwent drops, you know, obviously Call of Duty Remaster, things like that. I got to play them, dude. You know, so I have to figure out time. I think it was funny. I was actually, not to make this Destiny Talk Radio, but I was talking to a friend earlier about the game, and we're just talking about how we were playing so much PvP over the summer, and that's kind of really the sweet spot for the game for me now. And it was almost weird going back doing PvE and strikes and all that. So I think once I get the raid and all that out of my system, I'll just go back to casually playing it on PvP more than anything. You know, and then just, you know, every now and again go hardcore and then back off, because like you're saying, man, there's just too many other games out there to just lock yourself into one, you know. And look, Destiny's look, what we're getting right now is going to be there a year from now. So you got plenty of time.
Right. So do you see yourself not being the hardcore dedicated Destiny person you were a year ago? Or do you think it's just going to be a steady serving of Destiny just on a regular basis?
Yeah, I think there's just going to be a consistent, hey, me and my son are going to go jump into Crucible and go have some fun. You know, because like I said, I want to really get into trials. I think that's what's going to happen. Weekends are going to be for sweaty trials matches. You know what I mean? That'll probably be my Destiny experience, you know, after I experience the raid and get all the moments of triumph stuff out of the way. I'll just play a lot of trials, you know, which in itself is such a fun game, and it's going to be so unique versus the other PvP stuff that you do in Destiny and really other multiplayer games as well. I mean, it's not like Titanfall 2 has a variant that's going to be similar to what you can have in trials, you know. So
you tried the Supremacy game mode, right?
Well, I figured we'd have Destiny Talk Radio later, but since we're talking about it, oh, dude, I love Supremacy.
Nah, later. Come okay. on. Later.
I'll be quiet then.
But we have some good news. We have some good news. Two weeks from now, I believe, Paris, right? We're going to have a special Destiny Talk Radio episode.
See, Danny, this is why you shouldn't be sick and be on the podcast, because I said this on 601 that Deej is coming.
I know
up.
Coming on next week. I know you said that.
He'll be on. Let's put it this way: we're gonna record it next week. Whether we release it on the show next week or not depends on some other secrets.
Oh yes, we have some surprises. Yes.
It may or may not be next week. We'll obviously let you guys know next week when we get closer to it. But yeah, we'll be sitting down with Deej next week, Pete and I, along with a Khalif from Spawn on Me podcast, and we'll talk about Destiny, and then we'll be releasing it either on next Thursday's episode or it'll be the Monday after, depending on some other pending things that we have.
Yes. Just stay tuned because we have some surprises.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
After extreme deliberation, we finally come up with a decision. Congratulations goes out to the Rage and Asian. Now, for those, I'm hoping Danny can, hope Danny, you can go ahead and just put this as the picture for episode 603. But yeah, congratulations to the Rage and Asian. His depiction of the creation of Adam from the Sistine Chapel and substituting Paris and Phil was pure brilliance, genius. We'll never see anything like that again. Don't resist the Emerald. Congratulations once again. If you can, send us an email to fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Send me the mailing address or where you want this game. We'll make sure it goes out immediately and get it in your hands.
Be on the lookout for that. Now, I know we have a review this for this episode. Am I right, Paris?
Yes, you are correct.
What we have for this episode?
I'm going to, and I've been teasing this for the last couple weeks. I have the SCUF 4PS PS4 controller, and when we talk about, because I think we had got a email or a voicemail or something asking about this, asking about an Elite controller on the PlayStation 4. Sony does not have their own official Elite controller for the PlayStation 4, but let me tell you, this SCUF controller that I have in my hand right now, this is an Elite controller. I don't know how I can go back to a regular one, to be honest with you. I really don't. The fact that you can customize this thing, you can customize the joysticks, the height level, the if you wanted contoured indentation on the top of the joysticks, you can remove them. You can have them concave. You can have a tall joystick on the left. You can have a short one on the right, vice versa, or a medium one. The fact that they have that electronic key where you can customize, like, because it comes with two paddles on the bottom, and you can electronically map the buttons that you want those paddles to use. And it was weird when I first picked this thing up because I wasn't used to these paddles. And now I actually have them as my jump and melee while I play. Because actually, this controller, another thing, it's specifically tuned for Destiny, because you can tune it for Call of Duty or you can tune it for Destiny when you order it. I tune mine for Destiny. Mm-hmm. So I actually have the two paddles on the bottom. I use them for my jump and my melee now. And like I said, it was super weird doing it at first. And I'd actually map them off so that I wasn't doing it anymore. And I'm like, you know what? Let me go back, see if I can get used to it. And now I'm so used to it now, I don't know how I could go back to not doing it. Because I have muscle memory now. I'm just hitting those paddles when I want to melee or jump. The build quality of these things are top tier compared to what you would get with just the regular DualShock 4 controller on the PlayStation 4. Like I said, the fact that there's so many different customizable things, you can customize the color. Like, think the new Xbox One controller where you can go in and change all the colors to, you know, make it what you want to be. You can do that with these SCUF controllers as well. Like I said, so also with the triggers, and this is probably the big one, and it took me a while to find my sweet spot on this. You can tune the hair trigger to either be like a really long press or be a super short press, depending on your shooting style and the type of weapons that you use. So I kind of found a sweet spot now where it's not, compared to the regular DualShock 4 controller, my press down on the trigger is about half of what it was previously to press down to actually shoot when I'm doing a gun now. And like I said, again, it just takes practice and getting used to it. But now when I jump into Crucible and I'm using like a scout rifle or something like that, yeah, I'm just tagging people. Pop, 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 pop. It's just really quick and very intuitive. You can also get the actual grip on this controller. You can customize that as well. You can get what's called a military grade. So if you got, like I said, if you're playing trials on the weekends and your hands are all sweaty, this will keep your grip because, you know, it's, you know, your hands won't slip off of it. it's I'm trying to think how else to describe this thing, because again, this is audio and you can't see what I'm talking about, but it costs a lot to price out, because the way I got this controller, basically PR said, go on the website and order the controller exactly the way you want. So that's what I did. When I saw that final price, I almost fainted. This thing out the door was $207 out the door. Oof. This is not a cheap controller at all. This is a controller that people use. Like I say, we're at Call of Duty XP. That's why they were there, because all those guys in those tournaments and in those pro leagues, they're using SCUF controllers. They're not using the standard DualShock 4 controllers, because this is made for tournament play. This is made for the high end, you know, tournament ready gamer, you know, that wants to compete on a high level. Look, I'm a scrub. I really don't deserve to have this type of controller. I really don't. So if you've noticed that I've gotten better in PvP over the last couple of weeks, it's because I got this damn controller. I swear to God, I go back to the other one, my kill death ratio will go to like 0.5 or something.
Is it directly attributed to it though?
You know, here's the thing, and it's funny, because I do think it's helped me. I really do, because I got the taller joysticks because I have big hands. So the fact that the joysticks are taller, I feel more comfortable holding the controller now, you know? So it's definitely improved my aim, just because I'm more comfortable using controller. And again, that's the beauty of these SCUF controllers, is you can customize it to your fit, what you want. And again, depending on the type of controller that you buy and all the customizable features and accessories you get with it, you can literally swap joysticks on the fly. That's just how customizable this thing is. So if in certain games you need two tall joysticks on the left and the right, you can do that. If you need a variant of that, you can do that. You have the control to do that however you want. Like I
you
said,
you can swap out the thumbsticks?
Yes. Yes.
So it's like similar to the Elite.
Exactly. Right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. This is like the Elite controller for the PlayStation 4. And like I said, the fact that you can customize this to whatever game that you're playing and the style that you're playing, those hair triggers, and not to mention I have extensions on my triggers as well. So again, I have big hands, so I don't have to have my hands crowded up at the top to squeeze the trigger. I actually have my trigger fingers held lower, and it's more comfortable for me. It's just, again, I've made this controller more comfortable for me, being a guy that have giant hands versus someone that's smaller. They may be more okay with having smaller thumbsticks and using just the normal triggers. Whereas I've tuned my triggers to what I like them to be. I have the concave thumbsticks. I have the tall ones because that's what I like to play with. And dude, I love it. I don't know how I'm going to go back. If this controller were to break, I better look at my wife and get the spreadsheets out and explain to her why I need to go spend.
Get on the old school calculator.
Yeah. I'm like, look there, I got to spend $200 on this controller.
I do have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
Do you think the way that you have designed, you have that only for first-person shooter games? Now, let's say Gran Turismo Sport comes out, and you're into, you know, sports like baseball or racing games. Do you think it will work for those games too?
The way I have this right now, no. I would literally have to go in and change my triggers, and I would probably have to go to the normal thumbsticks. Because I was even thinking about that too. I was like, man, if I start playing Uncharted 4 again, it's going to feel weird, especially with the paddles. I'll have to remap the paddles so that they're not using the face buttons, because that'll throw me off too. Like I said, I'm just so into right now playing first person shooters with this controller, that if I go play an adventure game or something like that, it's going to be a different control scheme. It's going to throw me off because I'm so used to these paddles now. I don't know how I'm going to play without them if this controller ever broke, because that's just how I play shooters now. Cause like even when Call of Duty and Titanfall and all that comes out, I'm going to be using the paddles to do my melee and to do my jumping. I'm just trained to do it now.
I want to go back to the thumbsticks. Do they come with like small, medium, and large thumbsticks so you can swap them out on the fly? Or
yes, yes, okay. It's extra. See, again, you go to SCUF and you pull up the website and you order these. That's an added accessory. I think it's about $40 extra to have the full array of thumbsticks so that you can swap them out. But like I said, it takes 2 seconds to swap these things out. You could literally be in a PvP match and go, wait, I need the shortest thumbstick. I can't even say it, but thumbstick. And then you switch it out, boom, and then you're on to whatever. That's how quick it is. It's very intuitive, very easy to do.
And then, all right, so going back to the hair trigger, can you go a little bit more descriptive on that? Because I'm in the market. Like, I'm interested. Okay. I know you and I have been talking about this offline, but, you know, these may be questions that the listeners want to hear. Like, what is the hair trigger? Like, what is that?
The hair trigger. There, you have, like, it's like a little key. It has, like, a long pin on the end of it. And you take off the trigger, like the covers. You can take off the covers of the triggers on these things, right? You take off the cover and you're going to see like a little small hole on the side of one of the triggers on the left and the right. You stick that in. If you turn it clockwise, you can tighten the trigger to make you're pressing it shorter. You do it counterclockwise, you can turn it back to being normal pressing depth, right? So I've tuned it so that it's not all the way where it's just like rock solid, like I'm barely pressing it and I'm shooting it. I'm still putting some force on it, but I'm only doing about half the force that I would normally do with a DualShock 4 controller now. That's the difference. And you really have to do it while you're playing a game. Like literally in Destiny, I just go to the Cosmodrome and I just stand at a wall and I just shoot. And I see what feels good. And I just, right. And then I go back, tune it. Does that feel good? Go back, tune it. And not only does it go for your actual trigger finger, but that also goes when you're trying to aim down sights as well. How quickly do you want to do that? Do you want to do a hard press to be able to do it? Or do you just want to tap the trigger to be able to do that? Things like that.
So it's independent for the left.
It is independent. And that's the thing. Ooh. My left trigger the sensitivity is different than the right. Because I want a different sensitivity when I shoot versus when I'm aiming down sights. That's what I'm saying. You can really dial this thing in, man, and really just tune it to your preference. You really make the controller yours. Like, I promise you, if I were to hand you this controller right now until you go play Destiny, it'll throw you off. You'd be like, "What? Why am I shooting when I'm not? Why am I pressing this and it's doing this? Why is this so weird?" Because it's tuned to what I like versus what you would like. And then vice versa, you get the controller, you're going to tune it to what you like. And people out there listening, you would tune it to what you like. This, to me, this comes down to this. Yeah, it costs a lot, but you get what you pay for. Like, people are running out throwing coins at Microsoft at that Xbox Elite controller, which I don't have. And I plan on getting very soon, by the way, because of this controller. I get it now. That's what I'm trying to say. I get why people spend big money on these high-end controllers, because the customization that you're able to do with these things. So, I mean, this thing is fan-freaking-tastic. I love it.
So,
that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, last year when Microsoft announced the Elite, I remember we looked at each other like, why so expensive and all that stuff? But now that I have it, I actually went to the store and bought it like months later, because based on the feedback and the reviews, it makes sense now. You know, the thing is, with these type of controllers, you need to see it and try it out yourselves. That's the thing. When we went to Call of Duty event, Scuf was just there, and they have all types of controllers there. Like, and you could talk to them and try it out and everything. So make sure to go to the site and just pick the way you want it and go from there. And I think once you get these controllers, I think you're gonna be happy. You're gonna see the difference between this and just a regular PlayStation 4 controller. Am I right, Paris?
No, 100%. And just again, I'll give the URL so people can go check it out for themselves. It's Scuf, SCUF, scufgaming.com. I have the Infinity 4PS. This is the DualShock 4 controller from Scuf. This is their high-end controller, very customizable. You can go in and look at all the trigger extenders, the control disc, you know, the fact that you can swap out, you know, the thumbsticks, you know, the adjustable hair trigger, all that. I mean, dude, again, it costs a lot. Like I said, by the time you customize it and get everything that you want, it's going to cost you about $200 around there, maybe $180, depending if you leave a few accessories out. But if you're into competitive gaming, if you want to be the best at Call of Duty or Titanfall or Battlefield or Destiny, this controller is definitely something that you want to have. Because not that it's going to make you the greatest gamer in the world, but it's going to enhance your experience. It's going to allow you to customize your control experience to what you want, so that when you go out there and shoot with this thing, you're going to be just completely comfortable. Like I said, I went ham today in the Crucible, just playing Crucible. I was doing Control and I was doing Supremacy. I was having a good old time, you know, and I don't even think about the controller anymore. That's just how much I'm used to it now. I love it.
Two quick questions and we'll let the review end. But like, when you say, when you modified the or map the thumbsticks, or not the thumbsticks, but the tabs, the yeah, tab the sticks on the bottom.
The paddles, yes.
Is that done via software? Like you have to plug it in your computer? No,
they give you, it's like a little electromagnet. I don't even know how to describe it. It's not like a key. It's just like a little circle. It's an electromagnet. You put this thing on the back of the controller, and then you hold down the paddle and the button that you want to map it to. And then you let them go. You take the thing off. It's mapped to it. That's how quick and simple it is. It's like I said, you can literally do this on the fly. You can do it in the game. That's how quick it is.
And then the last question, because I've been, you know, playing around on the Scuf Gaming site and trying to build my Miami Hurricane colored controller here. What are these control discs that are on the bottom of the thumbsticks?
Are you talking about on the D-pad?
No, right below on the thumbsticks. There's like a disc.
That's how you switch them out. Those discs.
Okay, so it's just a locking.
A locking mechanism. You literally turn it, I think, counterclockwise. You pull the whole thing out, and you can swap out the joysticks.
Gotcha.
And it comes with a mechanism that you literally just put it on there. You twist it counterclockwise. You take it off. Swap out the joystick that you want in there. Do it clockwise to lock it back in. You're done. Like I said, seconds. It's really easy to do.
Okay.
And there's all the different color schemes that you can do and all that. And again, I just want to be clear. We want to make sure people understand the version I have. I have the Infinity 4PS Pro controller. Just want to make that clear. So if you go to scuffgaming.com and you want to customize out a controller for yourself, I have the 4PS Pro version.
All right. So thanks for the review, Paris. Any questions, make sure to hit him up on Twitter, Vicious696. All right, so Paris, I know, and Pete, I know that there was a deal going on around with Microsoft. Now, if you buy an Xbox One S, you also get a free game. And this deal is only up till, I believe, October 1st. So if you're listening to the show right now, go take advantage of this. So it's a couple games you could get once you get this console. NBA 2K17, which came out. FIFA 17, Record, Forza, Horizon 3, and so on. This is a pretty cool promotion, I think. But I think this is also available in other retailers like Amazon, GameStop, Best Buy, and so on. Is it Walmart and Target too? I think that's, you could buy
that. Yeah, I think I think the deal itself, yeah, you can go any big retailer and get that deal.
That's cool. Hey, man, that's not bad for the console. Get a free $60 game, man. Take advantage of that.
It ain't as good as the Target deal that was this weekend, I'll tell you that.
All right, so explain to this what happened with the whole Target thing. That was like, was that a mistake? Confusing? What happened?
It was a mistake, and here's what happened. So it's Sunday. I'm just chilling, and I just happened to look at a social media, and people, I think it was Cheap-Ass Gamer posted it first, CheapyD and those guys over there. And you basically could go to Target.com. You could get an Xbox One S, any version you want. But, you know, the cheapest deal is you get the $299 Xbox One S. You then get a game. And what people were doing was they were getting something like the Mirror's Edge Collector's Edition, which was $200. Or they were getting like the Rock Band, whatever edition it was, that was $250. You add it to your cart. You actually order it. You buy it, right? You get the confirmation from Target. You then go back into your order and you immediately cancel the Rock Band from the order, right? It then credits your account because of this free game promotion deal, and it actually reduces the price of the Xbox One. I saw one that was $180. I know, Pete, you said you saw stuff that was coming out at like $160. So what you do is, so what people were doing is they would do that. It'd be $180 for the Xbox One S, and they say pick it up in store, and then they just go to the store with their order form. It's already paid for, and you just walk out with the Xbox One S. Done. People were doing this as late as Monday night until Target finally stopped it and made it only the $60 version of games. No collector's editions.
Oh my god.
Dude, people was going bananas on Neo. Dude, I was just watching NeoGaf Reddit and Twitter and Cheap Ass Gamer. I was on their forums too, and people, dude, it was real. People was showing receipts, because even Deals got on it too, and they were, people were just tweeting away.
Yep.
Oh my
god. Hey, look, let's be real here. Paris almost got him one. Because I told my wife.
He was sweating in the background.
Hey, I told my wife. And she was like, well, why don't you just get one? That's a good deal. And I'm like, yeah, why don't I get one? Then, and like a dummy, I waited too long. And by the time I looked at the Rock Band one, it was gone. It was like, that was sold out. I was like, I'm not doing it now. Screw it.
Yeah, I looked. Everything was, all of the collector's editions were sold out. So I was only, if I was going to get one, it would have been, I think, the... just a regular 1S with a game, but every store within, I want to say, a 25 to 30 mile radius was sold out. Like if I was going to try to go pick it up, like I literally would have had to have gone to like South Broward or almost Miami. And I was like, you know, I'm at that point, yes, it would have been an amazing savings, you know, buying an Xbox 1S for, you know, 180, 175 bucks, whatever. I was just too lazy to have to drive for an hour down to go do it and an hour back. But I almost pulled the trigger.
Yeah, I mean, dude, 180 bucks for Xbox One S, that's just a great deal. Why not? You'd be crazy to not do it.
What was the craziest one? Was it last year or a couple of years ago? Was it the PlayStation?
Yeah, I remember.
It was also like,
yeah, weren't people getting it for like 100 bucks or under 100 bucks or something crazy like that?
Yeah. It was like Target or Walmart?
It was Walmart. Yeah, because they had a pricing error. And people was going crazy jumping on that one.
Now, my question to you guys here, because I remember we talked about this and we were getting a lot of emails. So people saying like, oh, that's messed up. Why you guys are actually promoting this, or why you're buying this? Isn't this like a huge mistake from the retailer part? What are your thoughts about that?
I don't think it's a mistake, theoretically. It's a loophole. And it's a loophole that unfortunately Target wasn't able to catch or consider when they're doing these deals. Now, moving forward, similar to the Walmart deal that I tried to do, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, where I tried to get a PS4 for like 100 bucks, I think was the deal. Like you had to buy it or print out like the screen of the price and walk into the store and be like, look, this retailer has it for less than you guys. And as long as it said Amazon, they would honor it because, you know, Walmart says that they would honor any price, blah, blah, blah. And so
they were competing.
Right. It was a competitive thing. And they actually changed their online purchase policy. And I think it was less than 24 hours or less than 18 hours that they actually did the change onto their website. Whereas a loophole like this isn't as quickly modifiable because it's not like they're circumventing the sale price. It's actually the way that their system refunds products for mm-hmm. orders. So mm-hmm. I I'm not a big, you know, POS, and I don't mean piece of boop, but you know, point of sale expert, but I believe that's actually what happened. It was just a loophole that people actually caught. Try doing this in the next 2 or 3 weeks as sales come out and bundles other things. I'm pretty sure, I don't want to say guarantee because there's very rare guarantees in this world, but I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure that moving forward, you won't find this out of this retailer or many of the other large big box retailers.
You know what this does tell me though, Pete and Danny?
What's up?
Black Friday, I bet you you'll be able to get an Xbox One S for $250 and probably at $299, some insane deal with controllers and bunch of games and all that stuff. It's gonna be nuts.
I agree. I see that too, because here's the thing. When it comes to the holidays, Microsoft wants to be number one during the holidays. For some real reason, they just want this to sell like crazy. And it's good for press. Once they sell, they send these press releases to the media, Xbox One, the number one console, the holiday season, whatever, or Black Friday. It's good press, you know? So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they do some crazy deals like that, man, during Black Friday, man.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. They're going to
be surprised. Take advantage. At the end of the day, gamers, that's great for us because that's great deals, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you save money, get some a console for a cheap price, go for it, man.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we have Let me see here. Oh, all right. So before we go to fan mail, I want to mention this to Pete and Paris. I know we talked about this for a while now, a couple of years. Beyond Good and Evil 2, the creator of the game posted an Instagram post, a picture of the game. I think the game is going to get announced very, very soon, which I think is going to be announced during an NX press conference next month. Your thoughts?
While I don't doubt that that could happen, I'm going to let you dream on this one.
Guys, let me dream. Yes, let me dream.
I have a dream.
Let me dream.
No, let me dream.
But that thing's freaking vaporware. I It's vaporware because they keep teasing me and getting me all emotional, and then it never comes out. So I'm done. Just like Half-Life 3, I'm done believing in Beyond Good and Evil.
All right. So the reason I'm going to counter you, Paris, on this one, and I'm gonna jump on the dream bandwagon here.
Yes, Pete, join the movement.
All right. So first off, it wasn't actually Michael Ancel's Instagram page that started it. It was the head of Ubisoft who threw it out as a slide, like, Michael Ancel just opened up an Instagram and I suggest you all check it out. Kind of like the precursor for him to announce it. Second, back in March, Destructoid actually unveiled, you know, they dropped that rumor of this actually happening and an actual Nintendo possibility of funding. They actually, I think they posted a story and then Nintendo asked them Ubisoft asked them to take it down. And I think they either took it down or they had to modify the original post. But from what I remember, somebody from another site found some kind of hardware rumors that talked about Nintendo funding the release of this Beyond Good and Evil sequel. And if that's the case, it wouldn't be the first time. Nintendo did it with Bayonetta 2. So that plus Yves Guillaume's Guillaume, I'm ruining his name right now. he did say it, what was it, last week when we talked about I think it was last week when we talked about the NX stuff, how he keyed in on saying that they were going to have a bunch more with exclusives coming to the surprise exclusives, things that people wouldn't be expecting coming from, you know, coming onto the Nintendo NX. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see something coming really soon saying Nintendo is going to have the exclusive for Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Thank you, Pete, for joining my dream. Paris, go and chill with your vaporware crew. We're far away. Far away from us.
No, and like I said, it's more of a thing of I just don't want to get my hopes up anymore about this game, because I trust me, I want to dream. I want to ride the magic carpet right along with you to dreamland, you know, with the scorpion right there to bite us. But
scorpion,
I just, they've been talking, what have you been talking about Beyond Good and Evil now for what, about 5 years, 5-6 years?
Yeah, been a long time.
It's too long, man. You know, it just gets to the point where you just have to stop. Until I actually see it with a release date, I refuse to believe it.
Now, my question to you before we go to fan mail, if they do announce this, and I know you're a huge fan of this game, do you see yourself buying the Nintendo NX?
Just for that game?
Just for this game?
No.
It's an exclusive? No? Okay.
Not just for that. No, it had to be something bigger than that.
All right. So let's move on then.
So we're going to do fan mail, but are we not going to talk about the big news that came out of this? There's no Destiny Talk Radio. We got to wait till Deej, who won't comment on this at all.
if you keep this super short, then yeah, go ahead.
Wow. I love how there's got to be rules, man. But no, just real quick, because I think this is something relevant. It is a discussion point. It came out first on NeoGAF from some little birdie who was then confirmed by Kotaku, from what they've heard, Destiny 2 is going to be on the PC next year. and they're going to treat this like a new game, and they're just going all out. And there's more information that's starting to come out now, because I'm actually looking at the Neil Gaff thread right now. It just sounds like a major focus of it is going to be with the Cabal, and Saturn's going to be a play space this time around, and they're doing a whole new engine rendering tech. Cross your fingers on the console, you're going to see 60 frames per second, because if that's the case, PC side, you know you're going to get 4K 60. I'm excited and I'm conflicted at the same time. I'm excited because I absolutely would love to see this game come to the PC and just have this graphical showcase of everything that it could potentially do. I'm excited the fact that Luke Smith is leading this and just everything he did with The Taken King, and that dude knows... He knows content. He knows how to, you know, direct a team to make, look at King's Fall Raid, that whole thing, right? So I'm excited to see what his team's going to be able to do with the sequel. But at the same time, I'm conflicted because I'm not so much worried about starting over, right? Because realistically, all your weapons and gear that we have right now, they're not carrying that stuff over. And I'm sure they'll have some wink and a nod to the past, which is fine. My concern is the community and the people that I play with. I play on the PlayStation 4. If I switch to the PC, I'm going to lose a lot of those people that I play with right now. Sure, some people like Pete or whatever might follow me over to the PC. I already know, a couple of my buddies we were talking today, they were thinking about jumping to the PC. But the majority of all these fine folks that I've met over these last 2.5 years playing this game, they're not going to invest in building a big PC rig just to play Destiny. They're going to stick with their PlayStation 4, or their PlayStation 4 Pro, or their Xbox One, or even the Scorpion, right? So
Scorpion.
So
I can see it now.
So in that case, I mean, because obviously I'm getting a PlayStation 4 Pro. Will the Pro just be enough and I don't need to worry about the PC? I mean, just the fact that it's coming to the PC, I see a scenario of me double dipping. Because I know I'm going to want to play this on the PC, but I'm also not going to want to lose the people that I play with on the PlayStation 4. So,
you know, I'll tell you this, Paris, and hopefully P feels the same way. To me, who gives a flat F about the PC side? I know you're curious about the whole power and 4K and all that stuff, but honestly, the best experience is not because of that. The best experience you're going to have is the people that you play with, man. No matter what type of console it is. So if you have been having a blast, if you guys have been having a blast playing this on Xbox One or PlayStation 4, then stick with that, man. You have a PlayStation 4 Pro, I think that's good enough and it's closest to a PC version. So if I was you, I'll stick with a PlayStation 4. But I know you're going to be sweating. You're like, oh my God, the PC version looks crazy. You know what? I'm going to change my mind and go with that. I see you guys doing that. So,
and let me just say this one real quick, because this summarizes it, and I can just say it super quick. Again, this is Jason, I think you say it's Schreier. I think that's how you say his last name, or yes. Over at Kotaku. He just quick highlights of what he's heard. He's saying he's reiterating what was already said on NeoGAF about the game coming to PC, and Vicarious Visions is assisting. They're seriously considering leaving all your characters and equipment behind, which I kind of get it. They're saying the game internally, they're comparing it to Diablo 1 going to Diablo 2 in terms of the amount of changes they want to make. So if you take that back in the day when Diablo 2 come out compared to the original, you kind of get the idea. One of the new things mentioned that regions will be much more fleshed out with towns and outposts mixed directly with play spaces. There's explanations of these reasons for the above, along with additional details on the items. There's talk internal conditions and changes at Bungie. So, dude, again, if they're just going to go all out and kind of get back to the original vision of what Destiny was going to be, I'll take the hit of losing all my previous, gear and stuff from this current version.
Yeah, that was something I wanted to ask you about, is because with all of the hours that we have put in, you on PlayStation, me on Xbox, I think on last check it was, I want to say 700 hours alone on Xbox alone myself. I think for PlayStation it was 85, 90 hours as of last week. So you would be okay with giving up all that effort, all that time wasted, I don't want to say wasted, but all that time invested into this and start fresh.
It goes back to what Danny just said. It's about the people, man. It's about who you play with, not the accomplishment and the achievements and all that. They're there. There's a record book of all that, right? So I know what I've done. I have those memories of the first time I went through Vault of Glass and when I beat King's Fall on hard mode, etc. You know, all the crazy things that we've done, you know, in these 2.5 years in this game. But it really comes back to the people. See, God, I wish Deej could actually talk about this because he ain't going to say nothing about this. But we got to figure out a way to kind of talk about the community and this point of what I'm trying to make with him, because I think this is important and it's why I stick with this game through all the ups and the downs that it's had, because of the people, man. It's because of the relationships and just the adventures and the excitement that I've had playing this game with so many people. So if they need to trash everything that they've done in the first couple years to give us something even better moving forward, and all the people are going to move along with me to that area, I'm okay. Discovering new guns, new weapons, new gear, new supers, all that, everything that goes with that. I'm okay doing that. You know what I mean? As long as I'm still playing with all the people that I had fun with in the first place, it's all right for me.
All right.
That's why I'm saying I don't know if I can go to the PC, because the majority of those people aren't gonna follow me to the PC.
So yeah. according to wasted on destiny.com, I've amassed 907 hours between Xbox and PlayStation 4. This includes hours of characters that have been deleted. You, my friend, are exactly at 1,100 hours.
See?
Woo! 951 hours of gameplay, 146 hours of deleted characters that are no longer in play.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe it. So, I make no excuses.
All right, so let's do this. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
All right.
That was actually a pretty damn good one there. Right.
And there was no coffee involved.
No coffee.
Yeah. No, not coffee. Not coughing.
Coffee.
Like cafe.
Cafe.
There you go. All right, so we have two voicemails, and we have a lot of emails. So I'm going to play this voicemail, and this is directly to a person. His name is Perez. This question is for Perez. Perez, are you here? Hello, where's Perez? Is he here?
I already told you. He's quiet. Stop answering people that don't spell my name and say my name.
All right, let's play right now.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. This is George from New Jersey. I've been listening to you guys for a few years. I wanted to ask Perez a question. How come in that interview you had with that guy the other week, you said you sold your Xbox because you were cheap? But in fact, wouldn't it be cheaper to just own the Xbox over a PC? Because you can't trade in PC games after you're done with them. You could trade in console games. That's basically the question I wanted to ask. Thanks for listening.
All right, Perez. What are your thoughts about his voicemail? Thanks for the voicemail, man.
I mean, he's right in the sense of, you know, with the whole cheapskate thing, it, you know, it's actually cheaper, you know, if you had a console because you could trade in your games and all that kind of stuff. But hey, man, we're moving toward a digital future. Can't do that no more. So PC for me is cheaper. Because that's what I want to do with my money. How about that answer? No, I mean, I get what he's saying. You know, it just comes down to preference. I mean, I've decided to take some of my disposable income and put it towards a PC. So, of course, I'm going to invest in that. But, you know, whereas Xbox, I mean, I wasn't necessarily playing Xbox games. So I just decided to get rid of it. And it's funny how it all works out, because now, you know, one of my most anticipated games of this year is an Xbox game. I'm just going to play it on the PC, but it's still the same thing, you know, which I had side note because you weren't here last week. Forza Horizon 3 on Xbox Anywhere works perfectly. I have no issues at all. None. None, nothing.
And we could play online.
Exactly.
Which is awesome.
We can play together, which is fantastic. And that's the whole point. That's what I've been talking about is if I can play a game on the PC and have the same exact experience that I'm having on the Xbox and I can play with people on the Xbox, what's the difference? There is none.
Now, here's a crazy, crazy question, Paris. I know you were talking about Destiny and everything. What if Destiny 2 is an Xbox Anywhere game? That you could play with Xbox Live community members.
See, now you bring up something interesting because then I could have my cake and eat it too because I would just double dip. I would still play on the PlayStation and then I would get Destiny on Xbox Anywhere and then I would have a PC version too and play with Scorpion people.
Scorpion.
There you go. It's going to be really hard to see that from other companies that are actually going to add Xbox Anywhere, because I can see this more just with the Microsoft games, first party games. Third party, it's gonna be a little bit tricky, you know. I think they will sell more if they just have it as individual, like, you know, PC version, Xbox version, PlayStation 4 version, you know. So all right, so we have another email here, actually voicemail, my bad. Play it right now.
What's up, GamerTag crew? This is Eddie from Chicago. Just calling in on Paris's theory about pushing games back into the following year instead of just missing the Black Friday sales. I mean, history has proven that missing Black Friday doesn't necessarily mean that the game's not going to sell well. Just like at Far Cry 3 or I think even South Park Stick of Truth came out after Black Friday. And then as for pushing it into January, you know, and everyone's saying that that's when the best time to push it to, because no other games are coming out. But we've seen that multiple companies have started doing that. So now everyone's coming out in January, February, March. So if, you know, if everyone's trying to be special, no one's special. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. You know, great show. Look forward to it every week. Take it easy.
All right. First of all, thanks for the voicemail. He talks about Black Friday. Missing out Black Friday, is that a... Are they missing out? He says no.
Well, I mean, like I say, we kind of already talked about this already. And then, you know, of course, you had to play the audio with Q and bring it all back up again.
Yes.
I mean, like I said, it's just, that's just my opinion. I feel like I don't care how successful a game, and I'm going to catch crap for this, but even if a game is successful post Black Friday, I think it could have been even more successful if it came out before. And I think in a nutshell, to keep it simple, that was my point. And look, I'm probably wrong. What do I don't know nothing.
All right. Pete, any opinion about that?
No, it's not a bad idea. We've seen games succeed before and after the holiday push. So I think because you have the established titles coming out during that holiday season, makes it a little bit more difficult for other companies to want to have to deal with it. Not saying that they wouldn't be able to compete, but to have to deal with the sales. And maybe they just want to be able to have the market focused more on there. So they pushed their title out to maybe a January, February, March. I think that's what they did for Uncharted. And I think Uncharted was more because of the development pushbacks and stuff like that. But I think some companies want to, you know, it all depends on what the business wants to do at the end of the day. Do they want to sell in the middle of the holiday season and hope that it can succeed against the Call of Duties and the Destinies and the Battlefields and the Titanfalls and those games? Or do you want to get it in a late January, early February launch where it's all by yourself and you get a lot more notoriety and a lot more publicity because it's just you and you're not competing against other games to try to get your marketing out, right? So, you know, there's so many different variables that companies take into consideration when they think about whether they want to launch a game now, holidays or whenever. So, you know, again, let the game stand on its own as a product, and if it's successful because it's a good game, it's going to sell regardless of whether it sells April or August or November or yeah. March.
So. I agree. Look at this game, Dead Rising 4. It's an Xbox One exclusive. It has a huge following. That game is coming out December 6th after Black Friday. So if you're a fan of the series, you're going to go buy it. You don't care if it comes out Black Friday or not. You're still going to buy it. So totally agree with that, Pete. All right, so we have any emails you'd like to read?
I think we got one that I think is pretty relevant in what we've been talking about. So I just want to read this one, and maybe that's it for this. We'll read some more next episode. But this one's from Anthony, and he says, I wrote in a few weeks ago as I was looking for a 4K Blu-ray player. I would have most certainly got a PlayStation 4 Pro, but it didn't have a 4K player. See, Sony, y'all screwing up right there. There you go. I got a deal from Walmart, $2.99 for the Xbox One S with a 4K Blu-ray and a controller, and canceled the controller and the movie and got the Xbox One S for $218. Go me. You could have got it for $180, bro, if you went to Target. The 4K player is not the best, but for $218, I couldn't let it pass for that price, even though it will likely never see a game because of my gaming PC. I had a Vizio 4K, and it did not play well with that TV, but it plays very well with the LG I replaced it with. No flickering, stuttering, freezing, or anything at the moment. I had all those issues with my Vizio, but I really thought that was the TV. Seems like it may have been the Xbox all along. There is still that weird issue with engaging the HDR improperly and brightening the black bars, but I read that it can supposedly be fixed with a firmware update. We shall see. I also got an Oculus Rift. I'm selling that. Kind of a waste of money on my part. Early adopter for life. Also, you guys got me pumped about Destiny, and I didn't really care for it at first because I didn't want to play the same content over and over. Sounds like there is enough to do in the game now. Hate you, but thanks. LOL. Keep up the good work, and congrats on episode 600, Anthony from North Carolina. So thank you, Anthony. I just bring that up because, you know, we kind of been talking about the Blu-ray player, and we had the email last week about it. It's funny. Our good friend Phoenix listened to this episode, and he also has an Xbox One S, and he's big into the 4K Blu-ray stuff as well. And he hit me up privately, and he told me that, yeah, man, he goes, that player has issues with the freezing and the stuttering and all that. It's definitely not the best 4K Blu-ray player that you could get. So if you're heavily invested into those, as it stands right now, the Xbox One S is not necessarily the Blu-ray player for you if you're looking for 4K content. But like Anthony said, maybe some of that stuff will get fixed in firmware moving down the road. You know, as far as he said with the Oculus Rift and everything, I've been saying this for the longest, even when it comes to PlayStation and with the Vive. I'm not touching a VR system until at least the end of 2017. I got to let that stuff mature and play out and see what's happening first. Even though I am impressed with it, I don't want to be an early adopter with that. And as far as Destiny goes, hell, we spent half the episode talking about it again, and we're going to have a whole nother episode talking about it. So just jump on the train, bro. It's all good.
It's all good. Look, man, I retire from Destiny 1. Everybody have fun. Go for it. I'll try. I definitely will buy Destiny 2 and try it out. Pete got mad that I said that on the chat. He's like, why are you planning to buy Destiny 2? Dude, you don't want me to support Bungie, man? What's wrong with you?
No. They'll be fine without your money. Don't wait.
Look at that. They're gonna lose $60, man. I'm definitely I'll buy the Destiny 2. Definitely.
Hopefully you'll stick around for longer than 3 weeks.
Okay. All right, so let's go. We're going to wrap it up, and definitely stay tuned. We have a couple surprises coming up, hopefully sometime next week. So be on the lookout, and make sure to be subscribed and find us in iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. And until next time, we're out. Peace. Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.